Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that examines current events on life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The last 2 weeks, I've been doing a series entitled Confronting Leftist Evangelical Support for the Black Lives Matter Movement and these protests. And we can totally understand how the world is being taken in by the BLM movement. But to read on social media platforms, professing Christians jumping on board just shows how many even in the Christian community are uninformed. So by way of review, in the first program, I covered how the New Testament addresses how Christians can be deceived by the world. And then I did a short exposition on 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter presents how Christians are to respond to injustice and persecution. Christ's way is the opposite of the world's way. And the BLM movement shows itself to not be a Christian movement in its ideology or in its method. In the second program, I explained how we should not be fooled by the titles. The People for the American Way are not about the American way. The ACLU is not about civil liberties. And the Black Lives Matter organization and this movement is not primarily about the physical well-being of African Americans. It's a leftist organization that's promoting communism. It's a movement and an organization that's really built upon two lies. First, creating group identities or stereotypical social classes based on the color of people's skin. Racist and race hustler politicians have been doing this for quite some time. But the facts are, blacks and whites are not homogeneous uniform groups. There are many blacks who have more in common with whites than with other blacks. And there are many whites who have more in common with blacks than other whites. Education, lifestyle choices, and most important, one's relationship with God, defines and separates people way more than the color of their skin. A Christian black man and a Christian white man have more in common than a non-Christian black man and a Christian black man. So the real division between mankind is whether you are in Christ or not in Christ. And the Word of God states that this is the only distinction that matters. And those who ignore, suppress, or substitute this important distinction by claiming that other distinctions are primary, or by teaching people to find their identity in the color of their skin, these are false teachers. And those who try to divide a people by the color of their skin are shallow, unspiritual, carnal, fleshly men. What matters is whether you're born again or not born again. And woe be to anyone who doesn't teach that primary distinction. This is the point Paul makes in his letter to the Colossians concerning ideologues who try to take away the preeminence of Christ, those who take people captive through philosophies and empty deceptions, according to traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. And one of the elementary principles of this world is dividing people according to their skin color. What really matters is being regenerated or recreated into the image of God, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So the first lie is finding classifications and identity in skin color. The second lie is that this whole movement is built upon blame, claiming that all disparities between blacks and whites, this false class to begin with, must be due to racism. That personal dysfunction and lack of success is the fault of other people. So, in my last program, I addressed these lies. However, I probably didn't clearly enumerate these points, but it is really helpful to cut through all of this rhetoric and expose the false premises of this movement. Identity based on skin color, and the blame game. Now, in today's program, I want to put the final nail in the coffin of leftist evangelical support for BLM. there are just so many side issues about this movement we could talk about for weeks, but I need to move on to other subjects. So the concluding big idea I want to address today is that supporters of BLM are being played. As the old saying goes, you're being played like a violin. And being played is a very descriptive way of saying you're being lied to, you're being taken advantage of, or you're being used. Have you ever heard the term useful idiots? It was a phrase that was attributed to Lenin, who described Europeans and Americans who supported communism and praised the Soviet Union as useful idiots. They were praising the communists, even though the communists were out to destroy their countries. Wikipedia defines the historic term useful idiots as a person perceived as propagandizing for a cause without fully comprehending the cause's goals and who is cynically used by the cause's leaders. Well, that's what's happening with a lot of these BLM followers. They're useful idiots for Marxism, for transgenderism, and for secular humanism. And here we have all of these white college students and millennials posting on social media their support for BLM, showing up at these protests to virtue signal that they're not racist. And it's clearly pretentious, patronizing, pandering. 80% of people protesting for BLM are white young people. Most of the people in the black community have enough common sense to see through the nonsense and not show up. Robert Johnson, the founder of Black Entertainment, did an interview a couple weeks ago. During the interview, Johnson said that those who are destroying statues across the country have the mistaken assumption that black people are sitting around cheering for them, saying, "Oh my God, look at these white people. They're doing something so important for us. They're taking down the statues of Civil War generals who fought for the South." You know, black people, in my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this the same way we laugh at white people who say we got to take off TV shows like Dukes of Hazzard. But if you go back and look at the Nielsen ratings when the Dukes of Hazzard was on television, I bet you it had a huge black viewing population. Johnson then goes on to ridicule HBO for taking down Gone with the Wind and then putting it back with a disclaimer. Johnson says, "Why do you need a disclaimer with Gone with the Wind? As if black people think that we believe slavery was like Gone with the Wind? Who are you trying to convince?" He goes on to say that white Americans who think that by doing emotionally or drastic things, that black people will look at them and think that these white people love them, the fact is, black people don't care. Look, the people who are basically tearing down statues, trying to make a statement, are basically borderline anarchists. The way I look at it, they really have no agenda other than the idea we're going to topple a statue. It's not going to give a kid whose parents can't afford college money to go to college. It's not going to close the labor gap between whites and blacks. It's not going to take people off of welfare and food stamps. Then Johnson goes on to criticize the white privilege movement and those on social media who are apologizing for being white. He said, "You know, that to me is the silliest expression of white privilege that exists in this country. The notion that a celebrity could get on Twitter and say, 'Oh my, I'm sorry that I'm white.' You know, I don't find any black people getting on Twitter and saying, 'Oh, I'm sorry, I'm black.' My thing is embrace being white and just do the right thing." So the point is this. Even the average African-American thinks that these white, woke, social justice warriors are just plain silly. They don't even see how foolish they're being. I'm sure most of you have heard about the city of Seattle having a training course for white employees. I believe an employee tweeted out the contents of this course, and it's been featured on a number of conservative sites to illustrate the left's agenda. You know, like the old saying goes, the left hates it when the right talks, and the right loves it when the left talks. Well, Seattle is teaching white employees to internalize their racial suppression. Employees are being told to repeat over and over again to themselves, "Racism is not our fault, but we're responsible for it." Well, that doesn't even make any sense. How can you be responsible for something that's not your fault? Well, anyway, you're supposed to interrupt your whiteness. How do you know when you've successfully interrupted your whiteness? Well, point number one, when you implicate yourself in racism. Point number two, when other white people may be angry with you. And point number three, when you stop your normative white behavior. So are you as a Christian going to fall for that? I mean, I can see unsaved leftists, naive white employees working for the Seattle Department of Human Resources falling for this. Because, I mean, these leftists even believe in healing crystals and even believe in remaking your own reality with the power of your mind. They have no moral compass. They're Ephesians chapter 4, darkened in their understanding. They're Romans chapter 1. Their foolish hearts are darkened, professing to be wise, to become fools. But for Christians to be fooled by this? Not any Christians I know. That is, Christians who have even a cursory knowledge of the scripture. They don't fall for this. It's laughable. You know, as is often said, the problem with atheism is not that you believe nothing. It's that you believe everything. So outside of Christ, you get played by the world and you get played by demonic forces. So Christian, do not fall for the lies of this world. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Titus 1:10, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers. 1 John 2:26, these things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. 1 John 3:7, little children, make sure no one deceives you. Revelation 12:9, the serpent of old who is called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. And Revelation 13:14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth. Well, Robert Johnson's interview was just one anecdotal testimony that blacks are not as woke as whites think they are, or white liberals want them to be. Here's a piece that statistically looks at the black community as a whole, entitled, What Do Blacks Say About the Police? And in his blog, Paul Mierengroff points to a new recent Pew poll. When blacks were asked, how satisfied are you with the job of your local police department? 3/4 of surveyed African Americans reported themselves satisfied with their local police departments. 3/4. Then in a number of surveys, quote, blacks want more policing in their neighborhood, not less. Do a majority of blacks in America really believe they can be killed anywhere at any time by law enforcement? No. Do a majority of blacks view America as a racist nation? No. And the author points out that given the media narrative, these polls are counterintuitive. We sit in our living room and let the media shape our view of what African Americans think. When in reality, the media and the left are overrepresenting a small group of Marxist black radicals. Here's another story. Abolish the police. Black residents in Harlem say no as white liberals push for it. Amy Horowitz went to the East Village in New York City and made a documentary asking the white residents if they thought defunding the police would help the black community. And there she received all sorts of comments against the police and how the police were oppressing black communities. Then Horowitz went over to the black communities in Harlem. And the black residents were all pro-police. So these leftist evangelicals who are supporting the current protests are not really supporting the desires of the black community. They're supporting white liberals and their agenda. What the media is telling us about what the black community thinks is also part of the lie. The media is inflating leftist radicals in the black community to give the impression that they're the majority, that they represent the black community. And they do this in order to give leftist power, to create national unrest for political purposes. You know, it's just like how they inflated the number of women being killed in back alley abortions to get abortion legalized back in 1973. Last week, I was on a video chat with a number of black pastors and activists, and they all lamented the fact that the media will not give them any FaceTime because they have a perspective that doesn't sell the narrative of the left. So this group is silenced. The left is just using the racism narrative to sell its ideological political agenda. And these naive white people, thinking that they're getting all woke about racism in America, are really just being played. Here's another article. What woke whites get wrong about blacks' priorities. Quote, most whites don't have many black friends to give them firsthand accounts of what their experiences are with racism. While most blacks do experience some discrimination or racial prejudice, it's rarely violent, and it doesn't hold them back in a significant sense. The media, however, gives a distorted view of black life. We see this in the stories they choose to report and those they reject. Whites are engaging in activism motivated by a misperception about black life that doesn't comport with reality for most blacks, with their view of blacks as wounded and perpetually oppressed. So, in this case of confronting leftist evangelical support for BLM, realize these evangelicals are being duped because they actually believe the emphasis of the media. Then the author of this piece, What Woke Whites Get Wrong About Blacks' Priorities, points out a second error. The first error, believing the picture of the black community. The second, these whites have a double standard based upon bigotry. The racism or bigotry of low expectation for black people. Quote, this month's protest started out as a black movement against police brutality, but they have a different look now. In many cases, the whites have taken over. They're apologizing for their white privilege. To find out, I had to hear what whites were saying. I listened to the protesters, talked with my white friends, and read articles and social media posts. What I found was white people overwhelmingly depict black people as desperate and defeated, with no way of pulling themselves out of their misery. That's when I realized that white wokeness is a new factor in our national life. It has been embedded into the consciousness of whites, that all blacks are the same, and they all face impossible barriers to improvement. So this is really an interesting take on why whites are being played by race baiters. Because some whites begin with the racist assumption that blacks are helpless, that white people need to give additional excuses and allowances for dysfunctions in the black community, which they would never give to white people or to Asians or to Hispanics. And this is called soft racism, where whites on the left still think that they're better than blacks in being able to keep social standards. But blacks can't do this. So they allow there to be a double standard for blacks. It kind of reminds me of liberal permissive parents who are always making excuses for the bad behavior of their children. But now, conservatives, on the other hand, who don't even think about race, have the same expectation for black people as for everyone else. Everyone is to be held accountable for the same moral standards of the Word of God. So maybe part of the reason why people are being played by the BLM movement is this soft racism of low expectations. But nevertheless, I still think the main reason why some evangelicals are being played is simply they don't realize the true agenda of the movement. Here's an op-ed piece by Alan West, the black congressman from Florida. His piece, A Black Man's Letter to Black Lives Matter. I do not need to qualify my being black based upon some predetermined ideological agenda. I was raised to believe that I was an individual who could think and believe as I determined. I was taught that America is a place where, regardless of where you've been born, where you came from, there is equality of opportunity. With that being stated, I'm tired of our nation cowering, appeasing, acquiescing, and surrendering to this absurd organization calling itself Black Lives Matter. There's nothing true or sincere about this ideologically aligned, progressive, socialist, culturally Marxist organization. BLM is just another leftist organization created by the same ilk of progressive socialists who create the NAACP. When one reviews the goals and objectives of BLM, they have nothing to do with the real issues facing the black community in America. The focus of BLM is to cleverly advance the leftist ideological agenda under the guise of a witty name that forces people into guilt and shame. Unquote, Alan West. So even this black politician understands the true agenda. Well, I don't have time to go into every point I would like to make. I'll just have to leave that for the YouTube version of this program. But the bottom line is that leftist evangelical supporters of BLM are being played because the movement is not about Black Lives Matter, but using the accusation of racism to push an Antichrist political social agenda. BLM is a Marxist organization that uses racism as a cover. The left really doesn't want to solve this problem of racism as much as they want to run on this problem to accomplish many of their socialist goals. And the Bible tells us this is a common method of the wicked, to hijack other people's pain and trouble, to find fault in order to gain power. Jude 16, these are grumblers, fault finders. They will create grievances in order to gain power, and they'll even take grievances that have some legitimacy and blow them out of proportion. Remember Absalom, the son of King David, who tried to overthrow his father's kingdom? Absalom wanted power for himself. So it says in 2 Samuel 15, Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the road to Jerusalem. And if any person had a complaint, Absalom would say, well, the king's not listening to you, but if I were king, I would give you justice. And in this manner, Absalom dealt with all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. Absalom was playing the people with criticism of Israel and the current administration. So in short, what's going on here is a war against God. It is not against the concept of there being a God. It's just against his holy standards, which means Christian culture and Christian law in America. The ungodly want a society without Christian values, the values of personal responsibility, accountability, work, marriage, family, that what you sow is what you reap. They want totalitarianism. So in order to take down the Constitution and Christian America, they have to indict it in some way. Find some fault they can peg to it to discredit it. And the means they are using to discredit America is by claiming it is and always has been racist, morally wrong. That's what the 1619 Project is all about, teaching young people that America's values and the American system is illegitimate because it's claimed that the nation was founded upon racism. Do you see what their ultimate goal is here? Don't be naive. It's not about racism, but it's about using the accusation of racism to bring about change, to bring in totalitarianism, Sodom, and a one-world antichrist system. Don't be deceived. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for including God and Country as just one part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for saving us from the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. We pray for the fullness of the Spirit, that we may be of the truth, and that we may stand for the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.